Wistful Thinking is brought to you by the Cage Club Podcast Network. For more movie and nostalgia podcasts, visit cageclub.me. That's cageclub.me.
Welcome to Wistful Thinking, the podcast where we revisit pop culture from our youth.
You almost had it.
It's like the hardest thing that I've ever had to say.
You can just skip over it. You don't even really have to explain what we're all doing here. I mean, what are we doing here?
Yeah. I don't know. I literally said that. I didn't say that to my therapist yesterday, but I was like, what is everyone doing?
You know, I ask that to myself all the time.
Like, I know,
multiple
me too.
Times a day. What is everyone doing?
It's like, what is everyone doing? I know what I'm doing, kind of, but whatever. Okay. I don't know how else to say it if I don't say that part.
Oh, you just say, welcome to Wistful Thinking. I'm Jordan Poling Clark. With me.
I thought maybe I tricked you into doing this. No. You were going to do it.
I'm being you right now. I'm okay. Jordan Poling Clark. With me is my co-host, Kara Gail O'Regan.
Hi. What if we did the whole podcast opposite?
Yeah. And today, we're talking about one of Kara's favorite movies from when she was a childhood, a little movie called Fern Gully.
When she was a child.
Oh, wow. We are off to a great start.
Do you want to just call that the intro?
Oh, absolutely. I wasn't going to cut that out.
All right, perfect. I'm not cutting any of that out. Oh, you have to edit this. Don't cut any of that out. It's a new month, which means a new theme here at Wistful Thinking. We're no longer at camp. Instead, we're acknowledging that the world is on fire.
Like, literally.
I feel like we always try to acknowledge that, but, like, literally, the world's on fire now.
Yeah.
So, in honor of that, we watched Fern Gully.
Which, I watched it twice.
I could barely watch it once. I'm so sorry.
Oh, no. Did you see it when you were a kid?
I mean, yeah, but I don't. I think I saw it maybe like once when I was a kid.
Okay.
Like, I didn't watch this movie.
Yeah, we had it on VHS. I think it like came out in April of the year that it came out, which I think was 92.
1992.
I think I like went to see it for my birthday party. So it like imprinted on my brain very seriously. And then I like watched it so many times because we owned it. And it's the reason that I am who I am today in a lot of ways, I think. Like, if there's any one movie that's had like an outsized impact on me, it's definitely this one.
Wow. Why? Why? Which parts?
All of it. I have a business card that says Flower Fairy. I mean, that's not a coincidence. It's definitely this movie's fault. My ideal date is prancing through tiny bioluminescent cave ponds. You know,
like people do.
My preferred way to wake up is awaken in the center of a blooming flower and then nudge gently out of the flower by a growing vine. All of these things.
I wish
things
that
are...
you could have that.
I know. Yeah.
Okay, so if you've never seen Fern Gully, it's a animated movie from 1992 with a really good voice cast, actually.
Oh my goodness.
Samantha Mathis, Christian Slater, Tim Curry, Robin Williams,
Tone
Cheech and Chong. Who?
Tone Loc, Funky Cold Medina guy. He is the
lizard.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that lizard. And it's about a group of fairies. Are they all fairies and some other animals who live in the rainforest in Australia, and they think that the humans are all dead because they left like a long time ago and haven't seen a human since then. And then the humans come because they're cutting down the trees. And one of the fairies shrinks one of the humans with her magic, and he lives in the woods,
you know,
with them.
As you
in the
do.
Woods. In the forest, in the rainforest for like a day. And just
yeah, it
like
to only be like a couple days at most.
When you described this movie to me, you were like, it's a brisk 78 minutes and it's low on plot. And that's true. It's for a movie that's like has a really nice, beautiful. I cried at the opening monologue of the movie.
Oh, that
and
opening,
then don't remember the rest of the movie at all.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, like, there really is almost no plot to it. It's just like, well, you skipped over the part about Hexus, who is like the spirit of destruction, who, like, the main magical fairy trapped inside of a tree a long time ago, and then humans cut down the tree.
Because I forgot that happened.
Yeah, and like released him, and he is like feeding off of the destruction, and like gaining power, and is about to destroy Ferngully. And also, like, a human winds up with the fairies, and he helps the fairies. Well, actually, he doesn't really help the fairies do anything. But the main character, Krista, she's a little fairy. She saves the whole forest by sacrificing herself, and then it turns out she's fine. It's great. But it's beautiful. Like, the animation is so beautiful. Maybe not the character animation. It's a little not great, but
it
all
looks
the backgrounds
just like
are
the
so
Little
good.
Mermaid.
Yeah.
Like, there are even scenes, and I'm like, that's from the Little Mermaid. And I tried to look up, because this is not a Disney film.
Correct.
So I tried to look up who animated it, and they definitely brought in, like, the woman, basically the woman who made Ursula, came in and also made the, like, sludge monster Tim Curry.
Hexus.
Oh, yeah, Hexus. I don't remember anything about this movie. I'm sorry. Thank you.
And they had to, like, reel her in a bunch because she was making him too scary.
Yeah, but
so scary.
That makes me think that they definitely, there was crossover with, like, the other animators, too. And Disney was super pissed off about this movie. And Robin Williams does the voice in this, too.
Yeah. There's actually, like, a really interesting story behind this movie that I didn't know about, which is that, so it was actually, like, an Australian-American venture. The guy who, like, wrote and directed this, or I don't know if he wrote and directed it, but anyway, the guy that was in charge, he and his wife would, like, tell their kids these, like, fantastical stories about the fairies and the rainforest in Australia, and then they decided that they were going to make it into a movie, and after he had some success with bringing Crocodile Dundee to the United States, he, like, moved to Hollywood and was going to set up this, like, indie animation studio. And somebody, like, took him on a tour at Disney and, like, pointed out all of the top animators to hire. So he, like, poached them away, and then Disney, Jeffrey Katzenberg in particular, who was the head of Disney at that time, was so pissed off about it that they at least twice rented buildings that this new animation studio was going to set up in. Like, they came in and, like, offered a better price for it so that they, like, wouldn't have any space to work. And then they wound up in this brewery in the valley, and like, Jeffrey Katzenberg was, like, trying to destroy the production at any and all costs. And Robin Williams had signed on to do the voice of Batty in Ferngully before Disney approached him to do Aladdin, which also came out in 1992. And so Jeffrey Katzenberg was just, like, on this, like, tirade of, like, trying to destroy this studio, and also, like, violated the contract that he had with, or that Robin Williams had signed with Disney, that, like, they couldn't use his voice or likeness in any of the marketing materials and stuff for Aladdin, and they violated that contract, which I find very interesting.
Well, Robin Williams was basically like, you can't tell me what to do.
Yeah.
I'm doing both.
Yeah. And I'm so glad that he did, because I love this movie so
Batty
much.
Batty was the only part of this that I had remembered at all.
Price check on prune juice, Bob.
I think that's probably true for most people who, like, didn't watch this all the time, is, like, you remember Batty.
Yeah. Because he's this character, he's a fruit bat that has escaped from a biology lab where humans were experimenting on him and had like installed some sort of like electrical interface in his head, and now he has brain damage. But he plays a big role in saving everybody.
Do they like glaze over that? Because I didn't get any of that at all watching the movie.
Yeah, when they first like bring Batty back to their like fairy colony, he's talking about escaping from the biology lab, and that like and he was talking about how like terrible humans are and how afraid of humans he is, because all the fairies think that humans have gone extinct. And he's like, no, they're real and they're scarier than
Here's
that.
why I can see what this isn't a great argument, but like, why did they have to be fairies? Like, wouldn't this be more effective if they were just animals in the rainforest? Like, why did they have to be take a human form?
Oh.
I don't I feel like they tried so hard to make this movie not be preachy that they ruined the movie
Interesting.
by like having it have no plot, by making it not be about real animals that live in the real rainforest.
Yeah. Well,
Like,
so other than the fairies, actually, there is not like the animals and stuff are anthropomorphized, but there is no flora or fauna in this aside from the fairies that is fantasy. Like, it's
no, I know all
all
that's real. They just
real
like went
stuff.
to they just like went to Australia and went to the rainforest and were like, cool, this is real. But so why, like, what to make the animals real to, I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's just like, it's easy for me to feel that way because I don't have an attachment to this movie.
Yeah. I like the fairies.
I like the fairies too. I don't know.
I think, well, I think because at the time, like, I'm trying to think about like the other animated stuff that was coming out around that time, Disney and non-Disney. And like, I think most of this stuff was like humanoid in nature. Although like the next year, this wound up being distributed by 20th Century Fox, and the next year they came out with Once Upon a Forest, which is like a very like similar story,
Do you think, okay,
and that's all animals.
so this came like right on the heels of The Little Mermaid, which was like a huge animated movie, like for the first time in a very long time.
And
And like,
saved Disney. Like, Disney almost
yeah.
went under,
But
and that like set off the kind of like golden period that they had after that.
This movie is basically like opposite Little Mermaid. Like a lot of the talk of like, oh, but the humans, and then like a human, like instead of like the mermaid going into the humans world, the human comes into the fairies world. It just
Yeah.
felt a lot like that, like a little bit like it was ripping it
Oh, of
off.
course it was ripping it off. Like,
Oh, okay, good.
yeah, no. I mean, they hired animators who worked on it. Like, they were
That
trying to
doesn't
make a
mean the
successful movie.
story could have been. I just think it could have been a good movie, and it wasn't.
No, I
That's
agree.
all.
I agree, and I would love to see somebody like remake this.
Ooh, yeah, I would watch that.
I personally would love to remake this. I made a list of a whole fantasy cast and everything. We'll get to it. Anyway, what was I gonna say? Oh, just that like they didn't have the resources that Disney had, but they were kind of under this constant existential threat from Disney, and also kind of working on a time crunch because they wanted to get this out before Aladdin came out. So like all of these things kind of like factor in. I like they probably could have fleshed out the story more and probably just did not have time to do that.
Well, but they shot themselves in the foot a little bit by doing that. Like, I just feel like it could have been Like they had the cast and the pieces in place for it
Mm-hmm.
to be like as prolific as any Disney movie, and it's just not.
Yeah,
The
no,
music's
that's
not as
true.
good either.
The music isn't as good, but like there are a few really good bops in this. That Toxic Love song that
Yeah,
Tim
that's a
Curry
good
sings
song.
is so good. The Tone Loc song is so good. Batty Rap is truly excellent. And most of the songs in this were actually written by Thomas Dolby, who is the guy that had that She Blinded Me with Science hit in the
Yeah,
80s.
I read that.
Yeah.
And then one of them, at least one of them, let's see, I pull it up
One of
so I'm
them's
not
written by Jimmy Buffett
lying.
too.
One of them's also written by Elton John.
Yeah, he
It's
had
like
like the
it
big
has
song
all
at
the
the end.
pieces for it to be so good.
Yeah.
And it's just not that good. Sorry, I keep shitting on their favorite movie.
Yeah, you do.
It's just because I don't have the attachment to it.
Yeah. Yeah, and like I said to you beforehand that like there's not like a ton there story-wise, but I think I really love the scenic art in this. Like it's really like enchanting and beautiful and like just like I don't actually care other than Batty, I don't really care about any of the characters. I care like a little bit about Krista, who's the main character, and Maggie, who's like the elder, but yeah, I mean the nostalgia factor is big, but I think there's also like at, like there's elements to this that you can appreciate even if you don't appreciate it as a whole.
Yeah, this was at like my nostalgia here is like this is the last movie that I can think of before. I don't have good words for this. I'm sure there's way better words for this, but like it has like a blurry quality to it where before like before animation got really like crisp. Like if you watch like I get even The Little Mermaid looks better than this because I have more money than
Yeah,
this.
well, so did you stream it on Amazon?
Oh my God, this is the other problem. Part of this is my fault because of how I watched it, because I didn't want to pay for it. So I watched half of it on like some sketchy site and then that stopped working.
Oh,
So then
dude.
I watched the rest of I'm poor.
No, I get
So
that. I just mean that like like if you had watched it at like a fuller quality, you
Well,
might have
no, okay, so you know
like
it gets worse. I'm not
appreciated it
even
more.
done. So then I watched the rest of it on YouTube, which like it was fine. It was the whole movie and everything, except I guess to not have it taken down, it was like
Zoomed in to like half of it.
no, it was something I've never seen before. It was like you've like imagine I've full screened the YouTube video. Like a quarter of the screen in the top left corner is the movie, and then the rest of it is just stars that are moving
Oh,
the whole
yeah.
time. I've never seen that before.
Yeah.
So that's how I watched it. So I'm sure that didn't help, but I don't think it hurt
It
a
did not help,
ton
but
either.
also the like the digital streaming version on Amazon, like the when they did the digital transfer of that, like they ripped it from a low quality print of the movie, because there's all kinds of like visual snow and stuff in it that I don't think is like part of the
Oh, that's
animation.
silly.
It's just something that happened in the transfer from analog to digital, which happens sometimes, and especially for movies that don't have, you know, a huge distribution weight behind it, which like it was distributed by 20th Century Fox, but it was never like, you know, this huge behemoth of a money maker for them. So, like no like when no one cares about a movie, like its quality will degrade over time, unless it's like remastered and stuff. So I think that has a bit to do with it as well.
Yeah, that makes sense. This features a lot of people who we've seen before,
Yeah.
I think. So we've seen Samantha Mathis
Little Women.
in
She
Little
plays the
Women.
elder April or the elder
Amy.
Amy March.
And you didn't watch the trailer for the new Little Women, right? You're not going to?
I'm not going to watch the trailer, but I'm going to watch the fuck out of that movie when it comes out.
It's going to be so good.
I just, all I want is that in this version, Joe tosses Lori off a fucking cliff. That's all I've ever wanted.
I don't think I that's going to happen. Please, I think Amy, please, and, please, Greta I Gerwig, think Amy and Lori still get married.
Ugh. No, they never got married.
Didn't they?
No, she married the other guy.
No, Amy and Lori get
married. Oh, Amy and Lori. Yeah, fuck
I'm
that.
I'm talking about Amy, not Joe.
Throw them off a Joe cliff. And
I've seen the movie. I tried to read the book, too. I didn't make it.
Yeah. Did you see the version that aired on PBS last year?
No.
Oh, that was really good too. That
I has, just don't need to watch. I think I just I don't need to watch three versions of it.
Oh, I do. I definitely do. But in that one, Uma Thurman and Ethan Hawke's daughter, I think, plays Jo,
who we all know and love now from Stranger Things.
Or people who watch Stranger Things do.
Yeah, she was really good on it.
That's what I hear. I don't actually watch Stranger Things, though. Too many flashing lights.
Yeah, it is a lot of flashing lights. So, yeah, her and... we haven't done Heathers. Did we do Heathers? I've watched Heathers. Did we do it on the podcast?
No, I don't think so. I don't like that movie very much.
So we haven't seen Christian Slater. Have we? No.
No, I don't think so.
Tim Curry, we've seen in Rocky Horror. Mm-hmm. Who else? Have we seen anyone else in anything? I was like, surely we've done something with Robin Williams, but I couldn't think of one.
Oh, well, of course, he was in Hook.
Oh, yeah, duh. I blocked that whole movie out.
Yeah, don't
blame me. Because it's brown and gray and ugly.
Not something that we've done on Wistful Thinking, but Grace Zabriskie, who plays Maggie,
oh, yeah,
the elder, mm-hmm, is Laura Palmer's mom from Twin Peaks. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the best, craziest screamer meltdown haver in all the land.
I think that's it.
Well, do you want to tell us about your dream recasting?
Oh, yeah. So I couldn't quite come up with everyone. But
I can help.
Okay, great. So Krista, the main character, I think Tessa Thompson would make a really good fairy.
Which one is she? I also don't know who anybody is anymore.
Well, that's not, this isn't gonna work.
No, she, it's fine. It's fine.
No, she was in Sorry to Bother You.
Yes, great. Okay, yeah, I know who that is.
So either her or Camila Mendes, who is, she plays Veronica on Riverdale. Also, okay, a lot of these people are going to be from Riverdale.
Okay.
Batty, I was thinking, like, who could possibly...
Who is like that
do
now?
A Batty? Because he does, you know, all these voices and stuff. And it made me think...
Ooh, I know who I would...
Who would you pick?
No, you do yours,
okay,
first.
Okay. Well, it made me think about all of the voices that Nicole Byer did for Tuca and Birdie. She does, like, so many of the voices on that show, and I think that she would make a really great Batty.
Yeah, I love that. Mine, yeah, that's better than mine. I would say, like, this is a different vibe, but mm-hmm, I was also thinking, like, who does voices? So I was thinking of people who are on Comedy Bang Bang all the time.
Yeah.
And, like... Carl Tart is really good at saying nonsense really fast.
Okay.
And so is Drew Tarver.
I literally never heard either of those names before.
Oh my god, they're both incredible. yeah, they're really, really silly. They don't have like the speed necessarily that Robin Williams does. Mm-hmm. But I think like
obviously the baddie would be different. You know, you can't try and be Robin Williams. No one is Robin Williams but Robin Williams, and I think that like you could definitely take it in a different.
I mean, I think what's important about Batty is, like, the improvisation of it. It's, mm-hmm, like, they just let him record, like, 14 hours of lines. And
yeah,
then
he wasn't supposed to be, like, a major character, and then they just had so much to work with that they kind of rewrote the script around him.
Yeah, so I think that's what that part actually requires.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, I couldn't really think of a Hexus. I mean, Tim Curry is also just so singular and so... iconic.
I would do Nick Kroll.
Interesting choice. Yeah, I could see that.
He's got that kind of like ability to be like really deep and mm-hmm low in his voice. Mm-hmm. But he definitely wouldn't be as scary as Tim Curry, maybe, and he
Or as
probably can't
sexual.
sing. Yeah, maybe that's okay.
And then Maggie, I was thinking like Maggie Smith immediately came to mind,
Oh,
but
yeah,
I would
sure.
also accept a Judi Dench, really any of the dames. I think, but that also at the same time feels uninspired
Yeah.
and kind of obvious.
Oh man, know who else I would do as Batty from Com not just from Comedy Bang Bang. She's like has little parts in a bunch of other stuff and she's in an improv team, but Mary Holland.
I also don't know who that is.
Oh my God, she's also so hilariously funny.
I'm gonna look at a picture of her because maybe I do. Oh, she's in Wild Horses.
Yeah, she's in Wild
Yes. Okay.
Horses.
But I don't actually know her specifically, but I do recognize her face. I've definitely seen her in things.
She's just starting to be in stuff now, which is great. She's great.
Oh, you know who might make an interesting Maggie? Jane Fonda. I just watched the most recent season of Grace and Frankie, and she's just such a treasure. We don't
Yeah.
deserve her. Or
Yeah.
Lily Tomlin.
Did you listen to the You Must Remember This about Jane Fonda?
I did. Yeah, that whole series was
It's
great.
so crazy.
Yeah. She's had this like incredibly heartbreaking life and is just still like it's such a treasure. You know who else I would totally. You know what? Any of the cast of 9 to 5 would make a great Maggie, whether it be her or Lily Tomlin or Dolly Parton. Would accept any and all of them, perhaps all three of them in like a fairies from Sleeping Beauty situation where they're each a different color, you know?
Oh, yeah, that'd be good.
Yeah. Zach, it seemed obvious that that should probably be a Hemsworth, but I'm not sure which one because I cannot tell them apart.
Yeah, I can't either. I know one of them has like the longest torso I've ever seen in my life. I don't know which one that is, though.
Yeah.
I think it was the same one who played Thor. That's a Hemsworth, right?
That's definitely a Hemsworth. Yeah, I'm not sure which one.
I couldn't even tell you all their names.
Oh,
One of
me.
them's
I don't even
named
know how many
Liam.
there are.
I think there's three.
Okay.
Okay, one of them's definitely named Liam, and I think he was the one who's married to Miley Cyrus.
Okay.
And then one of them is named Chris. I think that's the one who was in Thor. And there might be another one, or I might just be confused because on The Good Place they made up a fake one. And yeah, I don't know. Yeah, who else could play Zach?
But you know what else I love about this movie is that, like, the love story, it's like barely a love story. They like hang out once and maybe kiss. Do they even kiss? I'm not even sure.
If they
But
do, I didn't see it.
yeah, they just kind of, have fun and that's it. And it's not this whole big, overwrought thing where, he saves her or anything like that. He just happens to like stumble into the situation and then stumble back out of it again
Do you
without
think he would
ruining her
care about
life.
the rainforest if she wasn't hot?
Probably not, no.
That's probably also why they had to make her a fairy. What's he gonna fall in love with, like a bug?
Yeah, interesting. Well, I don't know. There's been plenty of weird human cross species attractions in cartoons. I've seen Bee Movie. I
Oh, I
actually really
haven't
love
seen
Bee
Bee
Movie.
Movie.
Oh, it's so good.
I have heard good things.
I love it a lot. Then the other guy that's in this,
The
Pips.
Christian Slater guy?
Yeah. So
He
I
could still
have.
just be Christian Slater.
He could absolutely still be Christian Slater, but I have two more people from the cast of Riverdale that I would maybe cast in his place. The first is Madeline Pesch. She plays a character called Cheryl Blossom on Riverdale, and I'm obsessed with her. And she has red hair, and she's beautiful, and I love her. Also, her character's a lesbian. It's great. I think she's like also like friends with people, but like she's really also an antagonist all the time. So I think that like that she has like the perfect vibe for that kind of character who's like not evil and not necessarily an enemy, but like definitely a frenemy, perhaps, you know? Or either her or what's his name? Charles Melton. He plays one of the gang members in Riverdale and he's extremely hot.
Okay.
Yeah. And then the other character that I wrote down, Goanna, played by Tone Loc in the original, it's gotta be Lizzo. There's no other
Ooh,
option there.
yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
Ooh, how long before somebody cast Lizzo to do an animated voice?
I feel like she already has, maybe.
Really?
I don't know. Let's
She's
see.
gonna be in a movie, but not an animated one.
Yeah, maybe that's it.
I just want to say, I'm sure other people did this too, but I called Lizzo like a year and a half ago, and I was like, how? I was like trying to tell people, I was like, how do you not get this? How do you not know who she is? And nobody knew what I was talking about.
You
And now
know,
she's
sometimes
huge.
it just people take a while. But they get there eventually.
And why, like, the song I was trying to tell people about like a year and a half ago was Truth Hurts. And she has a whole different new album out now. Why are we still listening to Truth Hurts?
She actually has like four of the top 10 iTunes tracks right now, and like two of them are from that older album.
It's, which, it's, whatever. It's great. It's a
Yeah,
great
no,
song.
I'm
It's a great
happy for
album.
her.
It's fine. But that kind of thing makes me nuts.
Yeah.
Like, one time, I remember being really mad about this. Maybe it's not accurate. Here's what I remember. Beyoncé won a bunch of Grammys one year, and they were all for an album and songs that were like over a year old. And I was just like, somebody explain this to me. I don't understand how this is possible. Like, isn't it supposed to be like music from now? And no one could explain it. I don't get it.
Maybe there just wasn't any good music that came out that year. And they were like, well, Beyonce did release that album
They were
a
just
couple
like, we
years ago.
default to Beyonce.
Yeah.
All right.
You know, like just as a way to get people to watch the award show and get her to actually show up to it. Because why would she go if she wasn't going to win an award?
Nah, she goes to stuff, right?
But only like if she's presenting or winning an award. And that's just like, in general, a problem that like the Grammys and the VMAs and stuff have. Because no one actually wants to go to those things. So they like
Well, would
have to.
you?
Well, yeah, no thanks. All award shows seem like a total nightmare to me,
They're
but.
so. I can't even. I can't even. Okay, what else about Ferngully?
It was part of this wave of like environmentalism.
Oh, yeah, they had to like wait. They wanted to make this movie for like 1,000 years,
Yeah.
but they basically had to wait for a bunch of celebrities to be like, yeah, environmentalism. That
I have a quote from an article that I
They
read
were
that
like,
might
yeah, it
articulate it
matters.
a
And
little
then they
bit
got to
better.
make the movie. Okay,
I
go
forget
ahead.
what it was called. Hang on a second. Ferngully. It was from Vanity Fair. Ferngully at 25, Inside the Creation of a Millennial Silent Spring by Chantal Tatoli. Silent Spring was a book that came out in like the late 60s, I think, that like kind of not necessarily kicked off the environmental movement, but it really brought a lot of attention to issues with pesticides and all the poison that companies were dumping into the environment. So this person wrote an article about how for many people of the millennial generation who saw this were inspired to care about the environment by this and other movies that came out around the same time. She said, quote, by the late 1980s, the environment had become a cause célèbre I don't know. That's a French word. For celebs, Sting appeared on the cover of Paris Match with an Amazonian tribe chief, and Madonna threw a benefit concert in New York called Don't Bungle the Jungle. On Earth Day in 1990, a shaggy-haired Tom...
Be right back. I have to throw up, so...
Okay.
She's like... No, it's like... I can't... Like, this article... This... Like, that shit's 30 years old, and, like, it's all still the same.
Oh,
it's just like,
yeah. I thought you were literally going to throw
no,
up.
No, literally, I'm really just throw worried up. About just, you like, for it a makes, no.
No. Like, that's weird, too. I mean, it would be one thing if I suddenly had to barf for no reason, but, you know.
No, I just, like, it's infuriating. Like,
no,
when
I agree.
This is what I was talking about when I said to my therapist, like, what is everyone doing? Like, this is what I mean.
Yeah, but anyway... on Earth Day in 1990, a shaggy-haired Tom Cruise delivered a speech at a DC rally, quote, "Have you planted a tree? Do it!"
Remember
quote.
When that's what they all, the what we thought we had to do?
Yeah.
Was just, like, plant trees?
Well,
no, like, trees
we
are great.
Haven't gotten much further than that. So many people think that all they have to do is stop using plastic straws and things will be fine, you know? Like, it would be so... It's we talk about this all the time that like our media and our culture has no room for like complexity and nuance and complex problems, so they get distilled into these like single issue, like if we just really care about the rainforest and just plant some trees, everything will be fine, when the reality is that like the deforestation of the rainforest ties in with, you know, globalization and global climate change and all of this, like, other stuff that, like, simply planting a tree is not going to help.
Also, but, like, I cannot do anything about that.
Right.
It is not, like, this, like, whole thing. I'm through my phone. I'm angry. Did you hear that? This, like, whole thing of, like... Like, us as the consumers, like, yes, we have the power a little bit because we have the money, but, like, I can't just choose to stop buying shit that comes in plastic because everything comes in plastic. What do you want me to do?
Yeah.
Like, oh, no, on top of that, I'm poor. Like, I can't actually make right. the investment a lot of times to, like, do better than that. It's, like, there's this whole thing of, like, it's our fault. We have to change it. No, it's fucking not my fault. Like, it's the people who make the shit have to stop making it. Mm-hmm. Whatever. That's where I
and
just
also
feel
plastics,
so helpless.
A small slice of the problem, you know?
Like, yeah, no, that was just like an example.
Yeah,
like, it's
no,
the whole
I know.
Thing, the whole, it's all connected though. You
yeah.
know? It's like,
it is all connected, and it's frustrating. Like, I joke all the time, like, remember when people used to care about the rainforest? Like, because that was, like, such a huge singular issue in the 90s, and it, or, like, the hole in the ozone layer, and these things that, like, bubble up as these, like,
that
huge...
was such a buzzword.
Yeah.
I feel like when we were young, the thing about the ozone layer.
Yeah.
That and nobody...
These huge single causes that, you know, it's easy to say, like... You know, we're doing something, we're making a difference when, you know, the companies that are not just dumping tons of toxic sludge and emissions into the atmosphere, but also like spending billions of dollars to lobby and buy our government, you know, they're the ones. And not that like people can't, you know, make a little bit of a different, you know, if everyone's trying their best, but like when it comes down to it, like this issue is so much bigger than planting a tree or even, you know, throwing money at a GoFundMe for like some Amazon thing. I don't know. Like just with the current burning of the Amazon rainforest, like it's frustrating to me to watch people be like, if we just keep throwing money at this problem, we'll solve it, and that's not necessarily true. Like it's not just, we can't dump money on the fire. You know,
no.
It's like things need to change at on a systemic policy level too, but That's not what we're here to talk
That's
about.
That's not what this podcast is.
Yeah.
Oh, how do we get out of the deep, dark, burning fire hole that we're in now? That we dug ourselves into.
Remember that all the power of a creation exists in a single seed. Which is so true, you know?
It is true. But, like, that's what I mean. Just, like, what is everyone else doing? Like, that's the only truth that there is in the world. We're all just ignoring it.
Is it that people don't know what they're doing, or they are just so intently focused on distracting themselves from the fundamental truth that we are all going to die?
I just don't think our society is built around. It's built around something very different than what feels like real.
Oh, you're telling me I'm selling jewelry and handbags these days.
Yeah, I know.
It is. Soul crushing.
But like when, so many,
like, you know, the world is literally on fire, and also we're putting people in concentration camps, and like you can't pick out a bag that you want. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
It's driving me insane. I might actually lose my mind one of these days and like just be like, what are you doing? Because people, they spend so much money on stupid, useless crap just to distract themselves from, you know.
Speaking of distracting yourself,
yeah,
guess
sorry.
What I started watching?
What?
90 Day Fiancé.
Oh, that sounds very escapist.
Okay, so, like, every podcast that I listen to, somebody who's been on it watches this dumb show. Like, and then I just kept seeing it on Instagram. Everyone was like, oh my god, I have to go watch it. And I was like, you know what? Fine. Fine. So this is how I did it. Because I was like, I'm not just going to like sit down in my nice spare time and like watch a show, like watch a whole episode or something.
Mm-hmm.
The first episode is like an hour and a half long. I don't care that much. But I would
is
just
every
like.
Every episode a different 90 Day Fiancé?
No.
Or is it like 90 days over the course of a season?
No, every season follows like several different couples.
Okay.
And the reason it's 90 days is because all of the people, like one half of the couple is American.
Okay.
And they're all engaged. Yeah,
yeah,
it's a visa problem. They're all engaged to people who are not American. And so they've all received a visa where their fiance is allowed to come for 90 days. And they like have mm-hmm. to get married in the 90 days, I guess, and then they can stay. So,
I see, that to me would not be escapist because I would just be thinking about immigration problems.
No, I mean, it's like, it's so dumb. It's like, it would be hard to think about that. Like, these people are so, oh my god. Sometimes I have to turn it up. Anyway, okay, so I was like, I'm not just going to sit down and watch a whole episode. Like, I'm not going that far. But I would just, like, put it on while I ate breakfast for, like, 15 minutes at a time. And I watched, like, two episodes that way, like, really slowly over the course of many days. And then I think I kind of got over it, but, like, I kind of get it. Like, it's just, like, some of the people are fascinating. And I recognize that some of it is just, like, how it's edited. But,
yes, of course.
But, like, they are fascinating. And it's just, like, watching what seems like it's going to be a train wreck. And I don't think all of them end up train wrecks, but it's so interesting. And of course, like every person in like the American's life is like, okay, but they're probably just coming to get to America. You know that, right? And it's so interesting.
Hmm.
So anyway,
sounds like it.
I did that. That was felt out of character for me.
Yeah. They finally, okay, so exciting. Designing Women is finally available streaming. I'm so excited. I spent all afternoon watching several episodes, all of which were like seeing old friends, because I have seen all of those episodes so many times, because they used to air it on like Lifetime back to back with Golden Girls every weekday.
Yeah, I remember. I never watched it, but I always remember seeing that it was on.
Oh, it's so wonderful, but also so infuriating because just like we were talking about with environmental issues, it's like this show was made 30 years ago and like still we're dealing with the exact same issues because it's like a very strong feminist show and these women are, working women dealing with being women in the world and, not a ton has changed and that's very frustrating. However, it's very funny and Julia Sugarbaker, who's like one of the main characters, tells people off all the time in the most dignified and fantastic way that I have always aspired to and never once managed to pull off. But also it takes place in Georgia, so there's like some questionable racial dynamics, which is upsetting, but I haven't gotten into too much of that yet.
Ooh, I also saw Ready or Not, which was not, I don't want to say it's good, but I really appreciate a nice, quick
Oh yeah.
horror movie. And
I
that's what it
appreciate a
is.
nice quick movie in general because movies are so long these days.
I appreciate most in horror movies, though, because in a horror movie, you have to build so much tension, and there's like such an art to it, and it's so kind of predictable, but also like it works most of the time. So it's like I find myself like really appreciating like the structure of that. Yeah, and it had a really fantastic ending.
Oh, that's good.
That wasn't necessarily like surprising if I were to describe it to you, but like visually, it was like, whoa. I like made noise at the
Cool. Then I have like something to look forward to when it inevitably is no longer in a theater and I can see it at home.
ending. And Adam Brody is still Seth Cohen. Okay, I'm still like slowly watching the OC, and like we all know when you go back and watch it as an adult, Seth Cohen's the worst.
The
And Adam Brody
worst.
even admitted that. He was like, I haven't gone back to watch it, but I'm pretty sure if I did, it would be like, okay, obviously Seth Cohen is just like a narcissistic asshole, which he is. But I just started the second season, and like Summer really starts to kind of call him out on it. Even though she loves him and whatever, it doesn't go unnoticed that that's how he's behaving.
Well, that's good.
It doesn't make it better, but it's also like I'm in the second season now, and Ryan Atwood and Seth Cohen is really like a sometimes problematic, but like really lovely bromance.
They do
Like
have a
that's
lovely
what the
romance.
show is really about.
Yes, absolutely. Also, the bromance between Ryan and Sandy.
Well, that's not a bromance. That's just a father-son thing that is, yeah, like really wonderful.
But they have a little bit of a bromance, and I just enjoy it. And I want like a little buddy comedy with the two of them. Sandy Cohen, by the way, is in the most recent season of Grace and Frankie. He plays a younger suitor for Jane Fonda, and he's still so handsome. Still got those eyebrows. He's so funny. I love him. Today I watched The Beach Bum, Harmony Korine's last movie, and it is a sublime, wonderful movie. It made me so happy.
Somehow he keeps making movies like that are worth watching. I
Which
didn't see it
is
yet.
shocking because his earlier movies are so horrible to watch. Like, not that they're bad, they're just horrifying and terrible ways and gross and weird ways. Not that this movie isn't kind of horrifying and gross and weird, which it like is, but just in a tremendously beautiful, wonderful, and hilarious way. It made me so happy. I just had like a big goofy smile on my face the whole time. Matthew McConaughey, really, we don't deserve him.
He's pretty great.
Pretty next level. Also, Zac Efron in that movie. What a revelation. He has some incredible JNCOs that he's wearing.
Ooh, JNCOs. Yeah. Does he also have the hair? Is that movie?
Yes, the hair.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I didn't even recognize him at first. It just was like, wow, that is like commitment to an aesthetic for a character. That's some choices. And then I realized it was him. It was like, holy fuck.
I was trying to think. I was like, what other movie has a dude where you're like, oh, wow, that was that guy? Wasn't it also Zac Efron in the Disaster Artist, and he played Chris R?
Mm.
I think it was.
Yeah, that I saw that recently, too. It really kind of knocked my socks off. Talk about commitment. From everyone involved.
I didn't love the movie, but I don't know. It doesn't matter why. It was fine. Read the book, though. And then, I don't know. I think I'm having like a whole problematic thing with The Room in general.
Yeah.
And with Tommy Wiseau in general.
Yeah, that's fair. But James Franco really disappeared into him, in a way that I was like very surprised by.
But like yes and no, like I think he did a good job, but this is my problem with it, for the most part. It's like they put a bunch of people in it who they were like, yeah, and then we'll use that guy, and then this guy will do this, and this guy will do this, and you're like, yeah, of course this person showed up in this movie. Like I almost would have rather it be like people I've never seen before telling the story, so that you don't have this like attachment to like,
yeah,
oh, this is this actor that I already know, so I have certain feelings about it playing. But again, I just think I have a lot of feelings about it because like I have a long history with that movie.
Right. Yes. A pre-existing relationship with it will change how you feel about it for sure.
Yeah.
I watched the Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants movies for the first time, and I loved them so much.
I could see that. I don't think I've ever seen them.
They're not great, but they're, like all I want are, like, nice movies about female friendship.
They seem nice. Yeah, they seem nice.
And they are, and I just really, a good, like, sob on both of them. I cried through most of the second one because I was already so attached to the characters. What? I like started crying during the opening voiceover and like cried through the whole movie. I also finally saw A Star is Born.
Oh, I didn't see that either.
It's not. I don't get it.
I didn't see it. I didn't think I would either. Although, can I tell you? Okay, I know we both have the thing about people singing together. And so there was like that one song from that movie. And I was driving a bunch of kids somewhere at sleepaway camp. And that song came on. I think they even asked to have it put on. Like the person I was with put it on. And they all sang the entire song together. Oh, wow. And it was also just, like, so wildly different from every other song that we had listened to, which was all, like, garbage music that I was like, why are we listening to this? And you are not allowed to say those words. Mm-hmm. So then we put on this, like, beautiful song, and they all sang it, and I definitely almost cried.
Yeah. I don't know. I watched it while I was babysitting, so I had to, like, pause it a bunch of times and, like, freak out while trying to keep a baby alive. But, Lady Gaga is amazing. I love her so much. She is so good in that movie. And Bradley Cooper fucking sucks. I hate him so much.
Why?
The movie is so, like, embarrassingly self-indulgent for him, because he directed it and like this was like his baby. And like the movie should really be about her, but it's really about him, and it's just like very.
Oh, it's an example of this movie is about the wrong person, which happens so much.
Yes, absolutely. This movie was absolutely about the wrong person. But it was fine. It just was like, God, I hate you, Bradley Cooper. I really only like him in Wet Hot American Summer, and like that's it. Everything
else. What else is he in?
Oh, he's been in all sorts of shit. He was in The Hangover. I think that was like his big breakout movie.
Yeah, I didn't like that.
Yeah, it's like really not my thing. He was in Silver Linings Playbook, which I did not enjoy
at
all.
Have we talked about that?
I don't think so, but I also hated it.
Okay, great.
Yeah. I don't know. I just find him annoying in general. And then, like, the whole, like...
Ooh, I do. I have... He's in Limitless. I'm looking at his, thing. I have wanted to see Limitless for a long time, but just because it seems really incredibly dumb. And it was, like, a recurring bit that Scott Aukerman and Paul F. used to do on Comedy Bang Bang, where they would talk about Limitless, and it made me really want to see it.
You know, Paul F. Tompkins was somebody else that I considered for my fantasy baddie casting.
Yeah, okay.
Completely different vibe, but would be interesting. Or H. John Benjamin, you know, just like thinking of people who do interesting voiceover work.
I saw Comedy Bang Bang live since we talked last.
Oh,
too.
Yeah. How was that?
Oh, my dreams came true.
Oh, that's
it was incredible.
Nice.
It was Paul F. and Scott and Lauren and Ego Nwodum. Do you know her from SNL?
I don't.
Oh, I've never seen her on SNL because I don't watch it.
Yeah, I don't.
I just, if someone knows her, it's either from that or Comedy Bang Bang, I assume, and you don't listen to Comedy Bang Bang. She is so silly, and just, like, the stuff that comes out of her mouth, you're like, how are you doing that? Like, what? What? Like, she's so funny. It's incredible. All my dreams came true. I went by myself. It was great.
Well, that's nice.
They also, it was my first experience of being somewhere where you could use an app on your phone to order drinks from the bar.
Ooh.
And I guess, I was like, I didn't do it. But I think the people next to me did. So I was like trying to creep on their app to be like, ooh, this is weird. How does this work? And I think you like order it from a menu on the app, and then it like texts you or has like an alert when it's ready, and then you just like stand up to go get it.
Oh man, I love it when technology makes it so we don't actually have to interact with people.
I guess, but like it was weird. I don't know. That's just another thing where I'm like, really, like this is where we're putting our resources? Like, come on.
Yeah, well,
we don't need this.
That is, I mean, don't even get me started on the shit we don't need in tech and Silicon Valley in general. People just diverting so much time and effort and money into stupid shit when they could be, you know, I don't know, planting trees.
Yeah, planting trees and buying metal straws.
Yeah.
Okay, anything else?
No.
Cool. We'll be back in 2 weeks with Biodome, a very, very different kind of environmental movie.
I am really looking forward to it.
I am too, actually.
So we could do that next time, or... Oh, never mind. I was going to say, or next month we could do a whole Pauly Shore month, which I would not object to and would be very into. But next month would be October, and obviously we have to do horror movies, so that's not, we're not doing
okay.
that.
Well, maybe just a different time we could find, because, like, I feel like I've pitched that to you before, and you were like, no. So, like, that you're saying that makes me want to be like, yes, let's do it right now.
No, I don't. I mean, I think that like we've floated Pauly Shore as like one of the dude comedians
Yeah, that's
possibly
what I
that we were
mean. Like,
gonna do.
surely we talked about it then.
Yeah, but I just was too burnt out on it when we did too many of them in a row. But I love Pauly Shore. I will stand up for Pauly Shore until the day I die.
I cannot think of another thing he's in except for the Goofy movie where he's the
Okay.
cheese whiz guy.
Yeah, well, he is in Encino Man, iconic part in that.
I've
He's
never seen
in,
that.
oh, wow. Okay, we can still do Biodome next time, but we're also gonna have to have a Pauly Shore month at some
Yeah, I
point.
mean, I think that's what we should
He's
do.
in Son-in-Law, he's in the Army Now. All of these were wonderful, hilarious movies. Fun fact about Biodome that's not actually a fact because
Wait,
it's not
you're not going to
true.
save it for next
I'll
time?
save it for next time. There's a teaser. I have a fun fact that's not actually a fact about Biodome.
Cool. So, if people want to find you, where can they find you?
Under a rock.
Cool. I'll Google that. You can find me on Instagram at JordoPC. And we will see you in 2 weeks. Bye.
Bye.